Are you ready for the weekend yet? We have events, news, and a guest for you to enjoy this Lake Life weekend. Hello and welcome to this week's Lake Life Weekend podcast. My name is Dirk and I'm your host, and it's already weekend 26 of 2017. And I realized it's the 4th of July weekend coming up. I don't know, you may feel the same. This year has been, as all the past years, it's going faster and faster. I don't know. It really is that, feels that way. My parents are here from Germany, and it has been really nice. And Harry has a really good time with his grandparents, Oma and Opa, and we are exploring Minnesota. We are taking a few little road trips, and we are enjoying beautiful views of the lake. I hope you get out and do some road trips as well. It's definitely the season, and it's actually not too bad that it rains a little bit in between, because then the grass stays green and the trees stay green. I like it that way. Last year was fantastic too, when the landscapes are just always so rich and fresh, and in contrast to the blues, I just really enjoy the landscapes. I hope you do too. Well, please stay tuned. Also, after our news and event updates here, we have a special guest again. We have Michael Norby from Detroit Lakes, and I always find it's a hidden gem in Lakes Country, not because only I come from retail. My mother actually had a few kids' clothing stores, and I grew up in retail as a child, but the Norby's family has been in Detroit Lakes since 1907, and it's just, to me, a fantastic history about local businessmen, or it becomes an institutional-like destination. And the Norby's retail store is managed in the fourth generation, and we had opportunity to connect to Michael Norby, speaking about downtown Detroit Lakes, lake life a little bit, development of the area, tourism, how it is to live and work in Lakes Country, I should say, and just a very interesting story, and I thought we'd share that here with you. So stay tuned for that. Some news in the area. I mentioned already Park Rapids. They have a satellite gallery from Etche Art from Fargo. And then there's another highlight. We have the River Art Community, which has a new venue in the downtown Park Rapids, Nate Ludgers, Ken Hill, and Donna Hill partner to open the River Art Community and will teach a variety of different art classes. The classes are open for everyone from kids, teens, and adults. Kids' art classes are held on Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon. Teen classes held Tuesdays and Thursdays from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. Adult classes Mondays and Wednesdays from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. Yeah, that was really quick, but we will have all details on our website, lakelifeweekend.com. And if you're in the Park Rapids area there, it's located at 323 Main Avenue in Park Rapids, the River Art Community now. Park Rapids Enterprise, we have a link to the article, and I think that's really nice. We have a lot of arts going on here, and if you knew, I don't know if I ever shared, I used to be an art dealer in Germany, and I'm really passionate about arts, from the painting to music and theater. So I actually always love the arts. That's why I mention it as much as I can. Another hidden gem we discovered here in Lakes Country, and we want to share. South of Ottertail on Scenic Highway 1, there's a place called Guards Acres, and I think sometimes we call this God's Country too here, what we have. And there is the Zion Lutheran Church of Amer, which founded in the 1980s already, volunteers of that group, that church. Outside of the church, they have maintaining the grounds, which is a 35-acre property where everyone is welcome to walk through the rolling hills, rolling fields, enjoy the trees and the wetlands. The intention of this destination is for people to enjoy, whether they need a place to rest, play, mediate among nature, or just be outdoors. Actually, I will check that out. I think that's really nice to have a public park offered 35 acres is not little. A few amenities available are a playground area, a disc golf course even, a volleyball, basketball, and pickleball, mile-long walking trail, community garden, and fire pit, and more. So that sounds like a really nice destination. So if you're down that way and you want to take a walk, not in a state forest, so you want to explore a new destination, check that out. There's a link on our website as well. We read this in the Perham Focus, so there is an article there too. Also interesting, Town Lakes Population Report. The DNR, that's just an example. The DNR every year takes, catches, I should say, nets or catches fish along. We learned that from Nathan Olson, actually. They catch certain areas, certain lakes, and then they publicize the fish that they catch. How do I say that? I'm sorry. You know what I mean, I guess, if you listen to the Nathan Olson interview we did on our past podcasts here. So there's a new Town Lakes Population Report available on the DNR website. And they had a little article here in the Frazee Forum, which we linked from our website. Every 10 years, the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources does population assessments on the lake to determine to how the fish are doing, generally size of the fish and the lake's conditions. So they every year they do the reports, but only every 10 years, it seems, for a particular lake. So they're busy all the time. But Town Lake in Frazee showed the highest numbers ever in Northern Pike, with the average size being almost 22 inches long. That's almost 2 foot. That's interesting. Other high population fish includes bluegill, sunfish, with an average size being 9.3 inches. Questions you, if you have, you can reach the DNR here, the local chapter, 218-846-8290. And I'm sure you find also the reports on their website. So that's really an interesting resource for us, the DNR. And Nathan Olson is available and was our guest already, and will gladly answer your questions. That was so much about the news. One little news I want to leading into the events here. We did a road trip, Harry and I, this past weekend. Driving conditions were just perfect. And 10 o'clock on Sunday morning is our favorite time. And we left Virgis, and actually we followed the road trip that I rode with him, or I rode and sent out in our little Lake Life mailer there. I think we have it on our website too. We leave Virgis past Lake Lida. We take a left on 233rd Avenue going south, and then it merges into 230th Avenue and then 108. And then you drive this beautiful scenic shore drive there on south shore of Lida, 108, and then go east all the way to Duchamp's little corner store, and that's where we have ice cream sometimes. And then we actually went south. We extended our road trip and we went to Phelps Mill. That's really one of our most favorite locations, and I don't know why it seems to be not visited enough. I don't know, maybe we're almost always there by ourselves, although there was a little group in the park. It's actually a little state park which is managed, I learned, because I called them up. And then I want to point out already, there's a Phelps Mill festival, and that is, I believe, on July 7th. I will speak about that again next week, but also I would like you to check out our website, or maybe go there. It's a crafts festival, and I think they have food, and it's just a whole day long festival at the park. And then you have this beautiful view of this old mill, which I think was built in 1884 or something in the late 1800s. It's a full museum, which is one of the only mills of that age that has survived. It seems they are out of wood, and with all the dust I learned in there today, they caught fire regularly, and this one never actually burned down. So it's a really nice historic piece, and I'll try to get an interview lined up with Historic Society. Sorry, this is going to be a little longer podcast today, I realize, because we had a long speech with Michael here. So let me lead this into events. upcoming events. June 30th, we have a blues barbecue and beer event at the Detroit Mountain, 5 p.m. till 10 p.m. DL Mountain will host the Minnesota blues legend Lamont Cranston and special guest The Soulmates. That sounds like a really, really cool event, so go there this Friday, June 30th. Also on the 30th at the Holiday Inn, there's the Smoke and Amp Entertainment evening, 9 p.m. till midnight. And then also we have something coming up. The annual Park Rapids Rodeo is also this Friday, June 30th, 5 p.m. till... Oh no, actually it goes all weekend. I'm sorry about that. It goes starts on June 30th and it goes through July 3rd, 39th annual Park Rapids Rodeo. Oh, that's up north again, or northeast here. So the PRCA Rodeo will take place at the Double J Event Center in Park Rapids. And yeah, that's one following. First Holly, then here Perham, and now Park Rapids. If you can't get enough of rodeos, you should check that out. Farmers Market on July 1st in Detroit Lakes, People's Park. Check that out. Open 10 a.m. till 1 p.m. Fresh and locally grown produce, fruit, plants, flowers, breads, and more. July 1st, 10 to 1, People's Park, Rossman Avenue in DL. And then July 2nd, Shakespeare in the Park, the Detroit Lakes City Park Band Shell on Washington Avenue will host the community theater who presents Shakespeare's Much Ado About Nothing. Actually, I might go there. 2 p.m. till 4 p.m. July 2nd. And then Tuesday in the Park celebrating 4th of July, the Sky Blues Band, Rain Dancer, and more will be performing at the Detroit Lakes City Park to celebrate the 4th of July at the concert series, the series Tuesday at the Park. That sounds really interesting. And it starts at 7 p.m. and goes through 8 p.m. And then, of course, very popular, the 4th of July fireworks on Detroit Lakes City Beach. Fireworks will start at, I don't know, it says 9 p.m. through 10 p.m., so they start somewhere in between, I guess, when it's getting dark. So much for this week's events and news updates. I hope you enjoyed it. Please, also, when you have an idea about a interview guest that you would propose, or if you want to share any hidden gems that you like to go to, please email me at hello@lakelifeweekend.com. And I appreciate all the messages we already received. That really is nice. Thank you. I see that our listenership is growing. I'm really proud about that and happy. And it seems that our efforts have a purpose. And thank you for always listening. And maybe sharing about what you hear here. Tell everybody about Lake Life Weekend podcast. That's appreciated. And also, one thing, what did I want to mention? No, I almost forgot it. What was that? Oh, yeah. We have a little contest going on. A picture contest, photo contest. So send in to contest@lakelifeweekend.com your most favorite pictures. We have a few categories. Landscapes, action, and beach. So send us your pictures that you like, and you can win a $50 gift certificate to Spanky's Stone Hearth on beautiful Rose Lake. So every week we give out a gift certificate, and we had some winners already. You should check out our Facebook page. That is just Lake Life Weekend, and it's WKND, Lake Life Weekend. And there we announce each week's winner, and I think the contest is also described on there. You should find that on the wall there. So, thank you for listening. And now I transition this over to our interview with Michael Norby. Have a great weekend ahead. Happy 4th of July. Hello and welcome to this week's episode, Lake Life Weekend. And I'm here with Michael Norby of Norby's Department Stores in Detroit Lakes. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, Dirk.
I met Michael actually last year. I'm befriends with your sister,
yep.
who's also engaged with the business, and I know your brother-in-law, and I was able to connect to you. And I told you earlier, I'm coming from the retail. My mom had retail stores. I'm always fascinated by retail, but I also know how challenging it can be, and I learned a lot already, and I was going to share it with the audience. But before we dive into the Norby's history and the long history and the brand itself, tell us a little bit more about Michael Norby. Who is Michael?
Well, thank you very much for having me, first of all. I grew up in Detroit Lakes. I was born and raised there, went to high school, and then I went off to college down in Arizona just to get away from the Northland. And I spent approximately 7 years down in Arizona getting my education and becoming a CPA. Oh. And as my wife and I were expecting our first child, we decided that the Phoenix area was not necessarily maybe the place we wanted to raise kids, and she grew up in the Detroit Lakes area also, so we moved back in, I hazard to say it now, but it was 1986, and since then we've been in Detroit Lakes since 1986 and raised three beautiful girls, and they have now since moved on, and they actually live in the Twin Cities, but yeah, it's been quite a nice run in Detroit Lakes. We haven't regretted a day since moving back.
Yeah, I didn't know that you were gone so long. I often meet people that come back to raise the family, and I understand. I'm raising a son myself, and I love Minnesota, and I have not been to Arizona or Phoenix, but the big cities scare me today. After being here for so long, I enjoy it. So
see, that's exactly the way we felt too. Once we were pregnant, we started to see all the negative things that come up with big cities, and we both obviously had a great life in Detroit Lakes, and we wanted to raise our kids in that same life.
Well, good for us, because you came back with a high education. You said you were a CPA.
Yes.
And then did you take over the family business right in 1986?
Well, that's back. My father and mother basically told the kids as we grew up, I have a older sister in the business. I have a younger sister in the business currently. And as we were going away to college, my parents said, "That's great. We want you to get an education, but we want you to go work for someone else. We don't want you to come back. We want you to come back, but if you come back, it'll be on your own, and it'll be with new ideas and new experiences, because you need to grow before you can come back.
If you come back. Ah, so they left the door open.
Yes.
to take a role in the family business.
That's exactly right.
But you must bring something back.
Right.
That's interesting.
And when I left, coming back to Detroit Lakes was probably the farthest thing from my mind, which a lot of young people, obviously, when you leave Detroit Lakes, you think, I'm never going to come back to this little city and whatever. But as you grow older and decide to have a family and settle down a little bit, you find out that maybe Detroit Lakes wasn't such a bad place after all.
No, it's a fantastic place, but I see it. Young adults,
yes,
wanting to explore, and I think it's not just explore Minnesota, but it's explore the world. And I share with a lot of people too, especially younger people that I meet, to give to your community, you should bring back the experience, because we need improvement by looking outside.
That's
and learning.
Exactly right.
And yep. And you brought back a lot, I suppose. So maybe before we speak about post 86, tell us a little bit about the Norby's history.
Well, I tell you what, my sisters and I are the fourth generation of Norby's. Our great grandfather actually started in the retail business with another prominent Detroit Lakes retailing company called Blandings. And for those of you who don't know, Blandings was a very similar type department store. My great-grandfather and Mr. Blanding partnered up together to form the Norby Blanding Company, and that was in 1898.
1898.
Yep. And they were together for 8 years. And then, from what we can gather, there maybe was a disagreement on how to manage the company. And so at that point, the Norby Blanding Company was in what is now the Sleep Center down at the Greystone Building on the corner of Highway 10 and Washington Avenue.
Oh.
And so my great-grandfather moved his store, broke away from the Blandings, moved his store down to one of, it would be the center of what is now the Norby's department store. And so obviously he started Norby's General Mercantile Store. And that was 1906. And then it was a general merchandise store, kind of like you see in the olden days, where they carried everything from soup to nuts to clothing to whatever needed to be handled in a small burgeoning city like Detroit Lakes.
Like, we have black and white pictures with a lot,
yes,
of glass, a center door, and then shelving, and then I need a comb,
yep,
or I need soap,
yep,
a mercantile.
That's exactly right.
So it started on how, do you know on how little square feet it started?
I am going to say that it was approximately between 3,000 and 4,000 square feet to start with.
Oh, that's not little.
No.
So it was a long...
It was the long building, and very similarly, in the same footprint as if you'd come in the main Norby doors now. And what's happened throughout the generations and the decades is that Norby's has expanded to the north, and it's expanded to the south, and we have obviously,
yeah,
grown to the point we are now. And no, he started it with the idea that, you know, he wanted to be kind of all things to all people. And while that isn't the case today, because we, through the generations, we used to carry groceries. Norby's used to have a grocery store.
With great-grandpa or later?
It started with great-grandpa, and it ended with when my father came back in 1955. In 1958, they determined that the grocery business was no longer viable for the Norby's, and we kind of give another friends of the family, the Evanses, because there used to be Evans Grocery, which is kind of the precursor to Central Market.
Yeah,
what Central Market
that
is nowadays.
I heard the name.
Right. The Evans put the Norby's out of business in the grocery business. So,
but you're still friends and have barbecue.
Just going to say. So they were great people, and my mom and dad were super great friends with the Evanses. But so that happened in 1958, and that was under my father's guidance. And then he actually...
Wait.
Oh.
We skipped one generation.
Oh, we did.
And so your great-grandfather spun off,
yep,
on his own 1906.
Yep.
And then he did a 3,000, 4,000 square foot general market.
Yep.
And then his son?
And then his son, who, as far as we know, my grandpa died, both of my great-grandpa and my grandfather died before I was born. But then in the 20s, my grandfather came into the store, and he actually, my great-grandfather died in the 1927.
Mm-hmm.
And so my grandfather carried on the tradition up until he died in 1957. So in 1950,
30 years.
Yep. So in 1955, my dad, who was working for Carson's, which is at that time a pretty major department store in the Chicago area, he came back, and I'm not sure if my grandfather was not, I think he was fairly healthy because he died of a stroke, so I don't know if it was fairly sudden, but my father came back in 1955 and then fully took over when my grandfather died in 1957.
With the intention, so it was 2-year transition period.
Yes.
So it was kind of planned for him to
I think so,
out.
Yes, yes.
But if I may ask, and actually in our last interview about the Water Carnival, I learned that in the 1930s, the Water Carnival was founded or established as an event. And then I thought about the Depression, and there were really hard times that your grandfather had to go through. Do you have any history, any stories?
We do not have any stories of during the Depression, although, I'm sure like everyone else, it was certainly hard times.
I bet.
Yes.
How could they survive? So
that's
actually,
right,
it's a wonder.
And I was just going to say, knock on wood, we did make it through that tough, turbulent time.
Plus World War II, I suppose, and,
yes,
and anything that
That's
happened.
Exactly right, right.
Yeah.
And so we made it through that time, and then my father took over the store in 1957, And really, that was the late 50s, the 60s, and the 70s were kind of the golden age of retailing. They really were. It was obviously different from today. And so I came back.
Interesting, though. Let's reflect on that a little bit as we speak. The cars became more popular. Shopping became more accessible for the out. Like, people could come to you from greater distances because they had the mobility now.
Yep.
Yeah, so the business was thriving with your father's, and during your father's time.
Yes.
That's when you grew and during, on the footprint.
Right, and during that time, we had, in 1970, we actually were being courted by different malls because at that point there were kind of the malling of America, and my uncle at that point had become part of the corporation, and they were asked if they would like to go to St. Cloud, Minnesota. And so we opened up a store in St. Cloud, Minnesota, which was a women's specialty store. So it was not a full-line department store like we have in Detroit Lakes. So we just sold women's sportswear. Mm. And then in 1975, we opened up another store in St. Cloud because St. Cloud obviously is a bigger market, and they were just opening up the Crossroads Center Mall, which if people are familiar with it nowadays, I mean, it's a huge shopping center in St. Cloud. And so we had a store in downtown St. Cloud, and we had a store in the mall, which at that point was a little bit outside of St. Cloud, but it's certainly, you know, probably 4 or 5, 6 miles away from. So they were two stores. And then we had a cousin who in 1979 was going out of business in Fergus Falls. And so we wanted to kind of continue the tradition and play off that family history. And so we opened up a store in that mall, which is still the Westridge Mall in Fergus Falls. We opened up another women's specialty store. So we actually had the store in Detroit Lakes, and then we had three women's specialty stores, two in St. Cloud, one in Fergus Falls.
When you say we, and you mentioned a cousin, so your family branch operated four stores total at one point?
Well, that's, And the family history that we have, and now we can say this because we're the only Norbys that continued, but my great-grandfather had seven siblings, and four of which were men. And his brothers opened up stores in Grand Forks, Barnesville, Minnesota, and Fergus Falls. So retailing obviously is in our blood. And what we have heard is that my great-grandfather helped his brothers start these other stores. So while they were Norby stores, they were not affiliated with one another, so they were just, and so I have third cousins who, and they went out of business. The store in Fergus Falls went out of business in 1979. The store in Barnesville went out several years earlier, and I think that was 75 or 76. And then in the, probably 1980 or 81, our cousin in Grand Forks went out of business. And it's interesting, the store in Grand Forks, when we had the great flood of 1997, the fire that happened downtown Grand Forks was actually the old Norby building that was on TV. It was on TV all the time because it seemed like once it caught on fire, they could never get to it. And so it got a lot of national attention, although by that time it was obviously not the Norby's store.
Huh.
Yeah.
Huh.
So,
but circling back to your branch, from Detroit Lakes to St. Cloud, and then in 79 growing into Fergus Falls, that was at the peak of your retail?
Well, that's, and so that was at the peak of our retailing, and then in probably, I think it was 1985, the mall owners in St. Cloud opened up another mall in Wilmer, Minnesota. And so they kind of cajoled my father and my uncle and said, we'll give you a really good lease deal if you want to sign up to go into the Westridge Mall. the Wilmer Mall, which is called the Candy Mall. And because it's Candy, Ojai County. So
where's Wilmer again?
Wilmer is southwest. If you go down Highway 10 and you turn off on Highway 71 and you go southwest, you will. It's actually 2 hours and 45 minutes from Detroit Lakes.
Oh, it's still before Minneapolis.
Well, it's, you know what? It's 100 miles directly west of Minneapolis.
Ah, that's what I thought. Yes. Directly west.
So if you go on Highway 100.
I go through Alexandria?
You can go through Alex if you want.
Yeah, yeah, I know Wilma now. Yep. That's what I thought.
But so we opened up those stores, and really, through the mid-80s, it was the golden age of retailing, and then, during the middle 80s, like you said, transportation became easier. We started to, retailing began to evolve, and it became category killers, if you will, where the Walmarts of the world started to come on board, the Toys R Us started to come on board. Very big specialty type retailers started to come.
That was only in the 80s.
Yes. Yep. And that's where it really became to blossom. Okay. They had been kind of rolling along.
Is Woolworth?
Woolworth. Well, you know what? Woolworth.
My dad just asked me yesterday.
Isn't that funny? See, and
they're gone, right?
Yep. Woolworth used to be an anchor in the Westridge Mall in Fergus Falls when we were there.
Oh.
And they went out of business a long time ago. I think corporate-wise, I think they didn't go out when they did in Fergus. But yeah, I'm not sure when they went out.
Yeah. So in the 80s, the Toys R Us's and Walmart's, they just did kind of go wild in the whole state, the country.
Well, as an example, when we were in, which at that time, Crossroads Mall was, it certainly probably wasn't as popular as West Acres is in Fargo, but we were one of 23 women's specialty stores in the St. Cloud Mall. And so we'd get these reports every month, and it would say, you know, you are one of 23 stores, and we were in the bottom third all the time, because it was just so hard for us, being a small company, to be able to differentiate ourselves as far as brands and things like that with our competition, who were, for the most part, either national companies that had located in St. Cloud, or for sure regional companies. We were one of the very few independents in that mall.
Mm-hmm.
And so thus, kind of at the end of the 80s, things started to get a little tougher, especially in those bigger malls for us. And we were having issues with management, and it just became very hard for us to manage those people and those stores from
distance.
2.5 hours away. Mm. That's right. Because that was before the internet. It was really all done by telephone.
Mm.
And
personal visit.
And personal visit.
And that was tricky.
Yep. Mm. And that's what, you know, and that's why I know that it's 2 hours and 45 minutes to get down to Wilmer, because boy, oh boy, did I take a lot of trips to Wilmer. Because that store, we had some issues. And so we determined in the early 90s that, you know what, if it would have been just an even money proposition, we probably would have stayed there, but we just were not doing very well in those outside malls.
Hmm.
And so we went out of business in both our St. Cloud stores and in our Wilmer store. And then in Fergus Falls, we turned the women's store into a men's specialty store.
Hmm.
So we moved locations because it's hard to explain, but in the Westridge Mall in Fergus Falls, they did an expansion of the mall, and we were one of the first ones to go in the newly expanded area, which never took off. So we were really far away from the traffic. And at that point, Herberger's, which was the centerpiece and still is in that mall, we were so far away that we never got the traffic. So we, in 1992, we said we will move to right across the aisle from Herberger's, and we'll turn our concept into a men's store.
In Fergus Falls now.
In Fergus Falls.
There was a vacancy, and you took
And there was a vacancy, right.
We're talking the mall in Fergus Falls.
Talking the mall in Fergus Falls.
I've never been in that mall.
Well, and, you know,
right now it looks,
I hate to say it, but there's not a lot of reasons to go there. And that's, so, and Fergus Falls has a lot of bigger box retailers now, but the mall has just, it's been a tough go for them. So we went into the men's specialty business, obviously.
Define specialty business. Clothing?
Yes. It would be all the men's furnishings that you would, you know, we didn't carry shoes in the outside stores for men's and women's, but it would be most
shirts.
Of the, all the sportswear, and for men it would be some sport coats and not a lot of the dress-up things like we had in Detroit Lakes, because it was more of a casual outdoor feel that we were going for.
Okay.
And so that lasted about 2 years, and in 1994, it was just doing okay. And again, it got to be, this was just kind of before the internet was even being thought of, and so we just weren't connecting very well with our people in Fergus Falls. And it was, we just said, you know what, let's focus on Detroit Lakes. You know, let's put all our energies in one basket and let's do one thing good instead of kind of doing two things and not doing them as good as we could.
That was a lot of history. No, it's fascinating. And one thing that I want to point out learn more about, you came to the business, you said 86?
Yes.
And you came like kind of like where you had to reinvent.
That's exactly
in
right.
In your
right.
period, you kind of right. reinvented or had to re...
Had quite an education in a short amount of time, because kind of the year before I came back was probably the best year we had ever had at Norby's as a general corporation. And so, you know, I kind of hit post-peak, if you will. And so, you know, unfortunately, we got pretty good at going out of business sales. And that's, you know... It's disappointing, but yet on the other hand, it's something that, you know what, you have to do in business, and you have to be able to look at the financials and figure out when the right time is time to pull the plug.
Yeah.
So, no, I got a baptism of fire, if you will.
So 110 years, 111 years in Detroit Lakes, and you are the owner, or your sisters are also owners?
Right, right.
You
so
three own?
We are a majority female-owned company.
Yeah, there's a registry in the United States, female-owned company.
See, and we probably should tap more into that because people don't realize that. But when I was in Arizona and said I was going to come back to the family business, the people that I work with said, you are absolutely crazy. And I heard every horror story in the book of how it's not going to work out and you're never going to speak with your siblings again and families have broken up. And I have to say, the number of disagreements that we've had, I can probably count them on one hand, which has been very nice. So we each have our own little, I guess, specialty and expertise in the business.
And responsibilities.
Yes, we certainly cross over. And that's the thing about Norby's is that, you know what, we're so small that at any given moment, there's probably one of us out on the floor and we don't have a very big hierarchy or anything like that. So we get along very well, but you know what? We are getting older, and now we're looking at that fifth generation, because my older sister and my kids are now peaking at the age of 30, and so they're in their mid-20s and above, and my younger sister, her kids are starting to come close to the 20 years of age, and so, you know, we're kind of looking at... what are
preparing
we going to do?
Them.
Yes. What are we going to do?
Or feeling out if they
yep,
want to be engaged.
That's exactly
and
right.
And then they have to leave and come back.
Right. Because we don't want to push our kids into anything, because it has to be something where, yes, you want to come back in the business. And I, as of right now, I would have to say that the six older cousins are... They're getting more entrenched into their careers, so, you know, but I never want to say never, because I would be a prime example where, no, if you would ask me at age 22 if I was going to come back into the business, I would have said absolutely not.
Yeah.
And by 25, I was back here.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, no, so we learned a lot, because we have one of the only family-owned how many department stores are there of that size? How big is it? How many items?
Well,
square feet do we have?
Well, we have two stories. Obviously, we're in downtown Detroit Lakes on Washington Avenue. We have 25,000 square feet.
Oh, yeah.
And we are one of the last of the single-family-owned department stores around. Certainly in, I'll say, the five surrounding states.
Upper Midwest.
Upper Midwest. We have some buying groups that we're involved in, and I have to tell you that I do have kind of a retailing buddy, I'll say, and he is in Indiana, and he is kind of what I would consider an old type department store like ours, where they sell giftware and they sell cosmetics and they sell shoes and they sell certainly men's, women's, and children's. But there are darn few of them, and really, you know, it's hard to keep track, and even fourth generation, there are very few of those people also.
Yeah, yeah. So what, okay, always been downtown, pretty much. You've seen a lot of change. Maybe we want to touch a little bit on Detroit Lakes still. Maybe also what does it contain? You mentioned the categories, but what makes it unique? I know, for example, the kids, not that I only have a kids retail background through my mother, but I have an 8-year-old son. So we frequently buy gloves because you have, for some reason, you just always have the gloves that I'm looking for, and a hat. So you have a kids specialty, the men and women. I see I can buy suitcases, cosmetics. So it's a real department store with how many categories?
Right. Well, we've always tried to. We really have, I guess I'll say, 7 major categories. But we kind of look at it. We've always been told, and my father has kind of told us, that we are many specialty stores underneath one roof. And that's the way we kind of looked at ourselves. But the men's and ladies are obviously our biggest departments. And then as you walk in the store, we have a cosmetic area, which is women's accessories and cosmetics. And we still carry Estee Lauder, which is very unique for a small company like ours, because most of the time people have gotten out of the business. Well, a smaller store, like if we'd want to get into Estee Lauder now, they wouldn't allow it.
Why is that? Just, because of volume?
Yep. And they literally want you to walk into the downtown Macy's store in New York City, and they want you to walk in the store in Fargo or Detroit Lakes, and they want you to see absolutely the same thing. Which is really kind of sad, because
it's like
the
going
uniqueness,
to McDonald's and seeing the
exactly,
same.
And that's what we liked. You know, there are some people that maybe give us a hard time for some of our creaky floors and things like that. But the idea is, we don't want to be like everybody else, and it's very hard nowadays to differentiate yourself. But we have a lot of customers coming in from, I'll say, the Fargo-Moorhead area or during the summertime, that come in and say, you know what, we just love to shop you guys because we find different things here. Mm. And that's the idea. We try to go to markets, and obviously we live here, we play here, we work here. We want to find something that we think are going to appeal to, quote, our customers. And so we're not a mass merchant. That obviously mass merchants go to markets and they literally buy for A, B, C, and D stores, and it's just on a floor plan that, depending on where you're located, you're going to get the assortment that a B store gets. Well, we have that ability to assort any way
for the client.
Would like
for the
it.
Okay,
exactly.
You differentiate yourself from a Target or from one same old Fargo experience or a bigger market experience. So you have the family choice, like you're a buyer. Are you going to the markets and choosing, and your sisters?
Yep,
so
absolutely.
So you kind of try to feel the trend of the local community's needs and wants, so I'm able to buy different fashion or different items.
Right.
That's...
And we're so connected to the people on the floor that we, on a daily basis, we can hear that this worked, this didn't work, this didn't fit right. People are looking for more of this, and so we have the ability to get on the phone, if you will, and hopefully it will still be available. Although today in the fashion business, it's very difficult because much of the merchandise is manufactured overseas now, and so there's a huge lead time involved, and our manufacturers don't want to get caught with a lot of goods, so they're almost making it to order, meaning that they will not put in an order to make merchandise until they have the orders in their hand.
Mm.
So years ago, there used to be a lot of excess inventory which really is not the case anymore. So it's almost when we make a buy for a season like spring of 17, the odds of us being able to go back and get more of those goods, if it's not a basic type item, we're probably not going to be able to do it.
So what's sold is sold. What's sold, on the floor is...
That's exactly right.
Before, I want to ask you about Detroit Lakes, Lakes Country, and what do you think about downtown or the development over the past years. You do online?
We do online business. Obviously, the online started probably in the 2005, 2006 time frame. And we like, obviously, it's ebbed and flowed just with the economy. And so we could feel that probably one of our best years online was probably 2007, 2008, before the last recession hit. But the online business, more people are shopping online. I don't have to tell people that. It's just a fact of life, if you will. And so what we've tried to do is we've tried to obviously adapt to that. We do quite a little business on eBay, which is, people don't really...
eBay store.
Yeah. Yep. And so people don't realize that. We're constantly trying to work on our own web store, but we're finding it's interesting that we sometimes have a fight with our vendors because our vendors want to sell us the merchandise, and yet they want to have us not be able to sell online with their merchandise, and they want to have their own stores online. So it's very difficult, and it's, we talk about a partnership between vendors and retailers, and we can tell who our positive vendors are. They're the ones that really do want to partner with us and aren't trying to shut us out of that game. So, but it's, there's obviously tons of competition online, just like there is on with our regular bricks and mortar store. And so we struggle with that just like we do. We need to get traffic to come to our website. Well, we need to get traffic to come into our door.
Speaking about Detroit Lakes, maybe, and you growing up here, leaving, coming back, do you like Detroit Lakes, how it has developed? Do you think it is going in a good direction? Do you have some suggestions?
I tell you what, Detroit Lakes, it's interesting because when we get reps that come through, which back in the olden days, I'll say 20, 30 years ago, we used to really buy most of our merchandise through traveling representatives that would come through. And nowadays, we don't get as many coming through, but there are still, we call them road warriors, and they come through. And what sometimes I fail to realize and what I'm reminded of, because we always ask the reps what they think of the store, what they think of the town, and really, Detroit Lakes, yep, we have our ups and downs just like everybody else does, but I tell you what, the reps, as a overwhelming majority, take a look at our town and say, you know what, you've got a lot going for you. And whether it's we're talking Washington Avenue or talking Highway 10, they go through a lot of cities near and far, and they say that our downtown is, they can tell by the traffic downtown that it really is busy and flourishing. And so sometimes we might get a little down and say, boy, we used to have this, we used to have that. But I think overall, if you compare us to certainly towns of our size and smaller, I think Detroit Lakes is doing more than holding their own. And we've got a lot of new development, since they straightened out the highway back in, I think it was 2008,
Roughly 10 years ago.
10 years ago, yep.
You mean the Highway 10?
Yep, the Highway 10, probably before you came, it used to have an S-curve.
Oh.
And it's before your time, but I can't tell you that I wasn't a little disappointed because the S-curve came right behind Norby's store. So we were kind of a stone's throw away from the highway. Okay. So people could see the back side of Norby's department store. And so they moved the highway toward the northeast.
Yeah.
So they tried to straighten out the curve, if you will.
Yeah.
And so you're not familiar with that, but it's
I can see it.
They moved it away, and then from that we've got the development of the strip center behind us.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have obviously another strip center across from Central Market now. So there's been a lot of, retail and or housing and or restaurant development, which obviously the more development you have, the more retail you have, that only does us more good. Yep. Yeah. And a lot of people say, oh, I bet you wish that so-and-so store went out of business, or isn't that going to be good for you? And I tell you what, it's absolutely just the opposite, because the more retail that you have in a concentrated area like a downtown, the better it is for all stores, because nobody wants to be told they can only shop at one or two stores.
Yeah.
Literally, and obviously we cater to more women, because women are the shoppers of the family, and we want women to have more choices than they know what to do with. And so when we have retail stores that open up and we have new developments that are right behind our back door, we're just tickled about it.
Do you feel that, let's say, during the past 10 years or five, that, I mean, we see physical improvements with a cleaner downtown, new road and infrastructure, but do you feel more foot traffic in general? Is it coming back that people are walking?
You know what? I have to say that that is probably one of the things that we're, that's concerning the most to us, is that the foot traffic. Even though we've got a busy downtown, I have to say that with the, we say the burgeoning of the internet, we do not have as much foot traffic. And the people that come into the store, I mean, are wonderful, and we love that face-to-face interaction. And, but that is, when I talk to my fellow retailers in different communities, that's what we are concerned and lament about the most, is the lack of customer traffic in the door. So we're always, that is probably a problem that we continually need to work on.
So it has not improved, although we have those.
Right. Well, and the downtown, when we had the road construction project that now is 2 years old, it certainly was needed, and obviously people can drive around town, and we've got other areas that need help too, or now. But I would say that it's been a big plus. People are very excited about. We just a couple weeks ago had the 17th annual street fair.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what, it was so nice to have the road being in perfect shape, if you will, and easy to get around. There weren't any potholes. The comments from not only the artists but the customers were just fantastic. I mean, I wish we could have those every week, although that probably wouldn't be positive for everybody. We love that.
Yeah, was it a success? I only been there at the beginning.
Oh yes,
it was busy.
I tell you what, the weather was fantastic. Last year it was a little bit cool and drizzly, which, you know, hurt traffic for them, and I realized that. But this year it was maybe got a little too warm actually on Friday late afternoon, because of course even though it's cement, it still gets a little warm once the heat radiates. But we kind of laugh because it's hard to find a parking place on that day and crazy days, which is at the end of the summer when we go out on the sidewalk with our kind of clearance merchandise, our summer goods. So we like it when people can't find a parking place.
Yeah,
that means there's
always
a lot of
people. Parking here.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, like in most European towns, or at least in German, the downtowns are closed for cars.
Oh.
And you have walkability. So the whole, let's say, at least three blocks would be just foot, and then in the center there's just coffee shop, like the La Baristas and whatnot, or Roasted. They would just have big beer gardens in the middle, not beer gardens, seating.
Right.
And then you just walk from one end to the other, and you have a walking experience.
Now, is that in bigger cities?
No, it's particular and smaller,
really?
But
I'll
also.
Be darned.
Essen, where I grew up, I said metropolitan, in the Ruhrgebiet we have 4 million people, but like every downtown, and Essen was one of the very first ones, and there's at least a mile where you just walk on the same size of your downtown, but only foot. And if you go there on Saturday, it's like a snake. The whole town, everybody's on foot. And then you park offside, but you always walk. Because we like walking in the first place.
Right.
But it's an experience. You don't have to watch left and right. Your child doesn't get hit or run over.
Yep.
And we may get lost.
Now, that's interesting, because when we went to St. Cloud, literally within a year or two of us moving to our first store in St. Cloud, which was downtown, they mauled off the main street. just like you were saying. So we went from a downtown main street, just like Washington Avenue. They mauled it off where it was just walking only. And
put a roof on it? Or?
Nope, they did not put a roof on it. It was open air. But we found that the traffic decreased significantly.
Really?
And but they kept that mall because back in the 70s, that was kind of a big deal to do malls. In kind of bigger cities, they would mall off so that the traffic was the safety issue and things like that.
Wait a second, but you define mauling off not necessarily with a roof, because when I think of a mall, it's offside, it's in the greens, and then I have to drive to it.
Okay, when I say a mall, all I mean was that they literally closed it off to traffic. So they and it literally was a walking, pedestrian only.
That's
right
what
on.
We should do in the summer.
See,
I actually think. That is actually, I just crossed my mind. We should close off at least two blocks in the summer and then invite the restaurants, like even main, like
to
they
go
all
outside.
Outside, they have umbrellas, and then they can visit way longer downtown. And like nobody parks on Washington Avenue. There's like 15 parking spots. So they park, and nobody can parallel park here. Oh, well,
right, that's right. You're digressing. Right.
So we could actually take advantage of the free-floating pedestrian environment and the restaurant hospitality environment and actually attract people. Finally, we could have a ice cream shop in the middle of the road too for all the
summer. That you know what, it would be interesting. I would have to withhold my judgment to see how it went, because in the past it hasn't worked out really well unless there's a lot of people milling around. And
but
that's great.
In the summer, we have a lot of
we
people
visiting.
We do
have a lot of people.
So Visit Detroit Lakes is our motto.
Yep.
And maybe even if it's 2 weeks in the summer, well, maybe we should talk to the council or whatever is. But no, it's
all right, I'll put you in charge of that.
I'm not shy. I will make a proposal. Anyways, well, really interesting. Four generations of mercantile merchandise department store. Detroit Lakes. Actually, it has been growing. And now we have a new development. We learned earlier down by the marina, by the beach, by the pavilion. We have two mall segments been building the past 5 years, 10 years. I only know Detroit Lakes for 5 years. That's it. And the longer I am here, the more I actually see, and I can feel the benefits. And I think, it's an interesting place for the visitor and the resident. So
yep. And for us for me, who has been here so long, it's still exciting to see that, because sometimes you can get in a rut, but yet all I have to do is look out my back window or drive down Washington Avenue to see the newness. It's always great to see something new coming into town, because that means that, you know what, people are excited about Detroit Lakes. And whether people like it or not, we've always been a hotbed for the people in not only Fargo-Moorhead, but even North Dakota. They just love to come down to the lakes.
Yeah.
And you know what? Yep, it might get a little more congested during the summertime, but by golly, those people, they love us, and we love to have them. It's been great.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. I think we had a really interesting conversation. Do you want to point out anything else? What is it, norbaseonline.com?
We're actually, our website is www.norbaseonline.com.
Yeah.
We're open. You know, it's been a little difficult as far as staffing goes, which has kind of forced us to redo some of our summer scheduling. So we're only open key Sundays during the summertime.
Okay.
And we're going to be open July 4th Sunday, which is July 2nd.
Yeah.
We're going to be open WeFest Sunday, which is August 6th.
Yeah.
And then we're going to be open on Labor Day Sunday. And I think, I can't remember what that Sunday is. But so because of staffing issues, we've kind of had to cut back, which is very disappointing to us. But
one Sunday a month?
One Sunday a month, basically, yeah.
In the summer, and then Monday through Saturdays?
Right. We're open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 6, and then Saturday we're open 9:30 to 5:30.
Okay, and you're right downtown, across from the downtown mall?
We're right down across from the Washington Square Mall.
Yeah.
Right across from the craft store. So
and we have lots of parking in the back.
Lots of parking in the back, and we've got some new you know, like you said, restaurants open up downtown, which and it's just wonderful.
Yeah. Well, thank you again for coming and learning quite a bit about a very historic icon brand. And
thank you very much. I really appreciate you inviting me.
Yeah, you're welcome. Talk to you next time. Thank you.
Yeah, this was already our newest episode of the Lake Life Weekend podcast. We sure hope you enjoyed it. Tune in again next week with another great guest and updates. Always check out our website, lakelifeweekend.com. And if you have some comments, please feel free to email us at hello@lakelifeweekend.com. And you have a wonderful weekend ahead.